All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles tonight. We're going to get into the 14th chapter of this wonderful book of Revelation. And the first five verses here are somewhat of a pause, again, to give us another wonderful reflection, a vision of the Lamb of God and the 144,000 that He is going to seal to Himself. And this will be the 144,000 that will take heed to those two witnesses that will happen during the time of the tribulation. And these 144,000 will be 12,000 out of each one of the tribes of Israel. And these 144,000 will be ones that come to receive Christ as Savior. That God will have a place for them, that the 12 disciples will rule on 12 thrones over those 12,000. And again, such a precious part of the body of Christ, as we've been rejoicing in throughout the Scriptures here in Revelation. So we'll go ahead and read these first five verses. And it says, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." And it's so wonderful here in this first verse. You see again, "And looked, and lo," the whole attention, the whole admiration, and so precious that the people of God, we do see Jesus as the Lamb. And we've emphasized that, the Word of God has emphasized that in this study, that let me tell you something, you want to see Him as the Lamb. And if you don't see Him as the Lamb, you've got an issue with God, and it's going to come someday. And praise His name that, again, I think back to the very beginning, in a sense, of man, and there was Cain and there was Abel. And Cain obviously did not see that Lamb, but Abel saw the wonderful promise, the blood that was in that Lamb. And brothers and sisters, we're getting into, obviously, Lord willing, that warfare of the believer. And someday, if He tarry, we'll come to that breastplate of righteousness. And we're going to find and rejoice in more and more, I hope, every moment of our life, that that righteousness is in Him and Him alone. It's in that blood, and in that blood that was everything by the grace of God for us. It was done, it was finished, it was shed, and there was a purpose in it. I think how some have referred to, and I don't mean to pick words with people, but you talk, they say sometimes it was spilt, and it wasn't spilt, it was poured. There was a purpose in that pouring, and He shed it for me, and He shed it for you, and in that, that was our Lamb. And praise His name. I can't help but, again, looking on that wondrous slain Lamb, and we will see Him as a Lamb slain, that was for me. What a wonder. I mean, you're talking about the very Creator of it all became that for you and for me. Praise His name. What a precious Savior we have. And you'd think about all the ways He could have done it. It's perfect, isn't it? Praise Him. Just so precious to think that He took upon Him to be that kind of sacrifice for you and for me. But again, it is just so magnificent. Behold, and lo is what this is speaking of. Take notice, here is the Lamb that stood on Mount Zion. And Zion means to lift up, it means the fortress. And this Zion we see is the heavenly Jerusalem Zion that is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. And let's go over and just read that. It's such a precious verse there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And we'll speak about that innumerable company of, in a sense, of these glorified ones here in a minute in the third verse. But that this is that heavenly Jerusalem that we're seeing. The earthly Jerusalem was built on Zion, and how much more the heavenly? Again, rejoicing this week that in Hebrews 8:6, Jesus Christ brought better promises, a better covenant, and it's just all better, and praise His name, He's going to have this set up. But again, these are the 144,000 that we mentioned earlier that God, again, will seal. He'll protect them. They will be sought after by that beast. They will try to be destroyed. The dragon will go after them, but God, again, will catch them up. You'll see that in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, and in Revelation 12, 5, they are caught up to Him. And actually, we'll go back and just read that for a moment in Revelation 12, verse 5. This was the woman who brought forth the man-child, that man-child again being the 144,000. And again, just to bring this back out, obviously this is important, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. So we can see that in chapter 12, this is again expounding upon that time that God is dealing with these 144,000, and at the time that He has caught these brothers and sisters up into heaven. It goes on to say, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung." And I think about how wonderful and how rejoicing, how much rejoicing there is of these brothers and sisters. Can you imagine, again, in this time that they're going into? And in a way, I believe in the Spirit, we can be taken there and understand what a grievous time this is going to be. I mean, this is a time that men are going to seek death, and they're not going to find it. This is a time that there's going to be much sin and unabated sin, in a sense, because the devil is going to have a free reign upon this world. As we said, the Christians are about to be completely taken out of here. And again, as I was thinking last week and just mentioned, could you imagine not having any Christian influence in this world today? I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, you better realize how gracious God is, and especially why we have in America what we do. It's for no other reason but God blessed America. And it is very true. And again, I was thinking of the different ones that get mad at so-and-so and this politician and that politician. The one thing I will say about the different politicians, anyone who professes their Lord in sincerity, I do appreciate. They may be wrong, but at least they have a spirit that I do appreciate. And I'm not trying again to get one way or the other. But God says, pray for all of them. He said, pray for your leaders. And He did. And you pray for them. But I'm going to tell you, pray for those that really do know the Lord, that they would be encouraged to stand up for Israel. There's a call to that. I want to see this nation be one of those sheep nations that goes before, and that God will look unto them and say, that was a sweet thing, and there's a promise in it for you. So there is a lot of truth again in this word, and again for our country even at this time. But I was thinking again that even in all of that despair, even in all of that, I know that again this is a vision of their heavenly, in a sense, and the thunder and the voices of the harps and the harps, the harpists and the singers of these 144,000. But you think that they're rejoicing just a little bit because they've come to know their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's just like the song He can give us in the night. It's just like the song that He can give us when we are facing a battle. And they're going to face a time that this world has never seen. But by the grace of God, I know that they're going to have a joy because they are going to see Him as Savior. And that's going to be a precious time for them. But you'll see that it is here in the third verse. It says that they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the 24 elders, or the elders here. And no man, and this no man could learn that song. This is speaking of the innumerable multitude, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And in that verse, there's so many precious things. But notice again, what this company of believers is doing, what they're performing. Again, they are singing and they are before the throne. They're not the worshiper that was seen as the four living ones. They're not the worshiper as the 24 four elders. And again, the four living ones are seen in the very midst of the throne. The 24 elders are seen round about the throne. But again, these are seen standing before the throne singing. They have a special duty in a sense, or what they are doing, but they are not the worshiper, again, that's pointed out, especially in the four living ones. And again, you'll see that this is a different group, it's a different company, and it's a different service and a different relationship that they have to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, notice as well, they were redeemed from the earth. Notice the difference here, the ones that are caught up into heaven and caught up into the sky or into the clouds that are seen in 1 Thessalonians. Those are the ones that are alive, the four living ones. I think these are just subtle points, obviously, that the Word of God brings that just underscore and again, just give emphasis to that there is a difference, brothers and sisters. There's a difference to those that are looking and loving and waiting for His appearing. And they are going to be the airborne saints. They're going to be the ones that meet Him in the air. And again, these are the ones that are redeemed from earth. Turn over with me just to... I'll just make note of this. That's Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. And again, that will be just a little note for you there again of these 144,000. Moving on to verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. For they are these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, when we're talking about this defiled woman, this is basically showing a contrast that they were not the harlot. There's a religious harlot at this time. We'll see, if you turn with me back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 22, think about it, what it's saying here about this church of Thyatira. Actually, move back to the 20th verse. And again, this is the church Thyatira, and we'll refer to this church here a few times this evening. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. And the interesting thing about Jezebel, do you remember what that name means? It means without cohabitation. She presents herself somebody who's pure, somebody that's a virgin. But we understand, we're going to read about her, that she is a great harlot. She is one that, again, defiles many in this bed of religious things that are against our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, which calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And then it goes on to say, and I will kill her children with death. And again, that is the second death that you'll read about later on in Revelation, where that's the second death that they will face the lake of fire. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts. Such a precious Savior that we have, and again, so all-knowing. So again, this is speaking of these 144,000. These are not the ones that were going after that religious harlot, that were not deceived by her at this time. There is going to be a deception. We're going to go in to read more about this Babylon, who is this religious entity, in a sense, this religious city, this religious consciousness that is riding upon the beast, this Antichrist. And they're all, in a sense, in this collusion together that gives power through the false prophet unto this beast, that these people wander after this beast. They worship this beast, and they worship the dragon as well too. And this is a time that's coming. And I think of, again, how subtle the Lord has even shown me things this week, how even so much of Christianity is getting their eyes off of Jesus Christ. Again, it is becoming such a great form of godliness, brothers and sisters. And again, thinking of that wonderful warfare of the believer, we're going to rejoice in the very first part, having your loins girt about with truth. Whenever you step outside of truth, brothers and sisters, all of that rest of that armor, it doesn't fit right. It doesn't come together. The very first thing that all of that's going to hang on, that we're going to see, is the Word of God. And it's simplicity. It truly is. But yet we want to make it of our something that's insatiable to our flesh. Something that may be more palatable to our eyes. A sensation. Something of that nature. Brothers and sisters, we need to fall in love with the Word of God. And you need to stay there by the grace of God. And we need to be settled in it. We need to be grounded in it. We need this to be the foundation, the very principles of who and what we are, because truly that is who we are. We are the new creation. If you've accepted Christ here tonight, you have this wonderful new creation in your life. And by the grace of God, this is the only thing, again, God has given man a soul. And this is the satisfier of the soul. Let it satisfy you. It'll be something, again, I appreciate the Word of God telling me. Sometimes I work out and I get out there and run and all those things. And you ever been so thirsty and all of these different things that they may hand you? And it's, I want that water. And yet the Word of God says this is something you drink of and you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. This is the quenching, wonderful refreshing of life. And praise His name, I'm beginning to... Lord, just drink of it and drink of it, like Brother Ray said. And sometimes, Lord, I feel like I'm drinking out of a fire hydrant. Praise His name. But you know what? He's faithful to give us every drop. All right. So again, so these were not the ones defiled with women, but they are rather virgins, showing again that Christ is their head. It refers to the verse of 2 Corinthians 11:2, where Christ presents His church a chaste virgin. It's wonderful. And these brothers and sisters have come into that knowledge that Christ is the head. Isn't that wonderful to know that He's over us? I appreciate again the very peace of God. Again, that, you know, it was once and for all. It's finished. Again, thinking of the wonderful victory that is mine. Thinking again of, Lord, I'm not just a conqueror. You have made me more than a conqueror in You. I just need to, by faith, get into understanding the Word of God and claiming the promises that He's laid before me. He's prepared it. He's prepared that way. He's prepared the vessel. What's lacking? Nothing. By the grace of God, believe Him. Hallelujah. And that's where He wants us to go, as well as bringing this wonderful 144,000 into. And again, it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And you know what? Again, thinking that we love Him. When we love Him and follow Him. That's how we show our love to the Lord. We just follow Him. Say, Lord, be my guide. Enlarge my steps. Lord, direct my way. Lord, let my mind be stayed upon You. That's how we love Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? There is nothing that we, in a sense, do except, Lord, let me follow You. Let me follow, and especially follow, as I was giving again the Word of God to a brother this week that's struggling with some things. We follow Paul as he followed Christ Jesus. There's a way, and there's a more perfect way. And there's a way that's a free way. The liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters. You know, when we put the law upon our life, we're under the curse. Do you understand that? If you want to put law upon your life, you're living a cursed life. And you can be a Christian and living, in a sense, that type of curse that the law would bring upon you. You're under grace. You're under the grace of God. And again, when you realize that and you see that in your life, that's when you love Him and that's when you'll follow Him. It's from the inside out. It's His work. We are His workmanship. I don't think He could ever impress upon us enough. We are so easy to forget things of that nature, aren't we? Because, again, our flesh... That legality, so easy, so pleasing, so wonderfully sensatiable to my flesh. Let God. Oh, let Him do it in our life. Praise His name. But again, they follow Him whithersoever He goeth. Praise God. I was thinking again how the bride and the calling that we have upon our lives, brothers and sisters. Think about how we can follow Him. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. There's just some precious, again, reminder of what we have been called to, how we can follow the Lord Christ Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 10, it says, that I may know Him. Are you after to know Him? I believe we are, aren't we? Praise God. And the power of His resurrection. Complete, finished. Hallelujah. It's done. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Do you want to know Him like that? I believe we do. And you realize that as you're putting the Word of God in your life, as you're doing that this evening, we are entering into the fellowship of that suffering. As I told you, the Lord so specifically came to me and said, "Son, I can take you in spirit anywhere you need to go. Trust me. I can make you abounding. I can make you abased." I've been at times, and I don't know about you, and especially as of late, where the Lord's had me laid up a little bit, where I've been just kind of laying there a little. Huh? Lord's taken me all sorts of places in that time. And He does. And He'll complete it. Just trust Him. Praise His name. But it says that the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that is something by the grace of God to follow, isn't it? So wonderful how Paul, again, in giving the Word of God to us, such a simplicity, but again, it goes back to, "Lord, I'm just wanting and waiting to see You." These were redeemed from among men. Going back to verse 4. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And again, that's Revelation 12:5, showing that they were caught up with Him and they weren't harmed. And God did redeem these brothers and sisters, these 144,000. And this again represents in that first fruit, this is the handful of grain, or the handful of the fruits that were brought to the priest. And it is just a handful. This is a small portion of the Jews. This is the remnant. It's going to be a bloody time, brothers and sisters. We've said it before, and I hope you realize this. The Holocaust, they hadn't seen nothing yet. They haven't. It's a time that's going to be. I think about pictures. Mom was such a sweet influence in my life to bring me into realization what this country's gone through, what this world's gone through. From the Revolutionary War to the Civil War. And I encourage you young people and even older ones, if you've never got into that, I think that's a wonderful thing to understand. You'll understand things about what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. And I think there's some wondrous truth that you'll see in World War I and World War II. And again, how Israel in that wonderful time that the nation was born in a day. And praise God how all of these things have transpired. But again, that Holocaust was a horrible thing. And you can see how man now, there's certain groups and certain ones, and it's a growing number. It never happened. It never happened. Huh? What a bunch of, well, you can just see the devil's at work and he's going to work it up to, they'll have a time again. So again, we do need to pray for Israel and to pray for God's people again everywhere. And it goes and it says, and in their mouth, in verse 5, was found no guile. For they are without fault before the throne of God. And again, precious to see, the Lamb was the beginning of it. The blood of the Lamb was put upon them. And we are saved by grace and grace alone. All right, going on to verse 6. And I saw another angel in the midst of heaven. Fly in the midst of heaven. And it's important that word fly as well, too. This is not an angel in a sense. This is the messenger. This is a saint. Talking about a swift anointed messenger. You see a flying in the midst of heaven. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This is the good news that's going out to the people that have believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during this time of the tribulation. Again, we've talked about the four living ones. Their rapture represents the very beginning of that tribulation. Shortly thereafter, within the first 3.5 years, we see that the innumerable multitude then is taken up into heaven. After that, right at about the 3.5 year period of time, that's when these 144,000 will be taken up into heaven as well, too. Then after that time, the witnessing of those two messengers that we have read about, they will also reach other people, whether they'll be Jews and maybe some Gentiles as well, too, that will come unto a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they'll go into the depth of the great tribulation, into that last 3.5 year period of time. God will still deal with them. We've read about them in Revelation 6:9, where it talks about those saints that are under the altar. We're going to read tonight, which is such a wonderful thing. A lot of people have kind of struggled with this. Well, who goes on from the tribulation? The Lord talks about that there will be people that will go on into the millennium. Who are they? Well, by the grace of God, we're going to read about some of these that are saved during this time. Some of them are killed. Some of them, as we see, are taken up into heaven. But at the same time, we're going to read that some of those will actually make it all the way through and will be some of those ones that will go on into the millennium that will be upon this earth. So stay with me on that. All right. The everlasting gospel here it's speaking about is from Daniel 9:24. And this is for God's people, which the Messiah will bring into the millennium. And this is kind of the precursor of a few verses that we'll touch on as we read through. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." This is a calling out to them that, you know what, don't despair. By the grace of God, you keep looking to me. There's going to be some horrible things going on. Could you imagine being a Christian at that time? I'll tell you what, I would hope that they could, again, heed to the things in the Word of God. There will still be hope even then for them. Isn't that something? See, when Jesus is there, you still have hope. And you know, we can think of, well, we've got problems. I can't pay my mortgage, or my kid's not listening to me today, and my wife's upset, or we've had a lot of different things. Let me tell you something. You go into this time, this is going to be about as bad as it gets. And you know what? The Lord is still their joy, and He's still encouraging them, and He's still encouraging you today. And I don't care what you're going through. Listen to Him. Listen to His words of love. Because even in this time, as bad as it is for these folks, they know that their time is still coming. Isn't that wonderful? My time isn't here yet. It's payday someday, as Brother Hill used to say. So again, look to that wonderful time when He will be the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. All right, verse 8. And going into this verse 8, this is the religious Romanish system that we're going to talk about here a little bit this evening. "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Now again, we kind of read about that in Jezebel with Thyatira, but let's jump ahead because now we're starting to be introduced into Babylon, and I'd like you to go with me to Revelation chapter 17. And this will start to bring Babylon into play here. And let's just go down to the third verse. It says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness." And again, this is John, and this wilderness speaks of the world. "And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Well, that's a familiar beast we've been reading about. This is the beast, in a sense, that will give that power unto the Antichrist, which will be that beast himself. "And the woman that's upon this beast was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." So you can see that she's presented here, this woman, as a religious body. She has this golden chalice. She has this cup. Again, the Word of God speaks of that Last Supper and the cup and all of these different things. And there are different religions, and I don't need to tell you which ones, and especially one that has this golden chalice that's clothed in this purple and in this scarlet. And again, this comes from this Romanish influence here. "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints." Now again, we have already had the religious body in this world at a time that has already has the blood of saints on her hands. There was a time, and again, know your history. And know what they did to Christians. And they're not shy to talk about it. You go back into Italy and the different places like that, and the Colosseum and the different places that they brought the sweet brothers and sisters that really held the Word of God dear and would not deny that. They took different ones throughout the ages and threw them upon burning rocks, as you know. And the one sister that they took her children, there was a story about her, and she would not denounce the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they took her children and burned them upon the rocks before they did it to her as well. So again, you think you suffered for His name's sake. You know what? I believe we are going to suffer just like He needs to. You don't need to induce the suffering. God knows what we need. All right. So it says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints." Again, this is verse 6. "And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Okay, let's go over now to the 16th verse of that 17th chapter. "And the 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." And I think it's so interesting how the demons, in a sense, they can work together one moment and then they'd be fighting each other the next. And, you know, and unfortunately sometimes God's people do that too. See, you can see that that's just the spirit of wickedness working in there. You see what I'm saying? Love. That's the commandment that God's given us. Isn't that wonderful? Been hearing a lot about commandments and the law and all these different things. I'm thankful God fulfilled that. Praise the Lord. He fulfilled it for me. And you know what? The law that He's given us is the law of love. So let's love one another. And let's fulfill the law of God in a sense that He has given to His sweet people. All right. Let's go on now. Let's see. I'd like to also mention the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. This is again continuing on with Babylon. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory." And I, could you imagine who that is but Jesus? "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." That talks about every single false messenger that ever could have been. They all collected there. What a foul place to be in, huh? "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Just think of what a deceitful thing she is. All nations. There isn't one that wasn't deceived. "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now you can see that again, the love of money is the root of all evil. Think of how this woman deceives. She goes in with that money and she gets to it. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we do need to be in defense of the gospel and stand in defense of that wonderful gospel that Christ has given us, and to understand, in a sense, that these are things that we need to stand in defense of in our lives. Money, the love of money, the love of it, it'll defeat you. It'll bring evilness in your home. It'll bring evilness in your life. If that is something that you're coveting, if that is something that you're truly going after, if that is really what you're bent on, and you say, "Oh, it's not the money, it's the things." Well, it's just dotted all the way back. It's the same difference. You know, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And I don't want it in something that the moth is going to get to and rust and man can steal. I want it in something by the grace of God that nothing's ever going to corrupt it. And that's what Jesus has done for you. And I tell you, it'll pay you so, so much return. All right, so going on now to the fourth verse. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And again, this is that call like we were reading to Thyatira, where even the Lord says, "Ye that has an ear, let him hear. Take heed to this stuff. Get out of this thing that you're in." These people that don't believe, they're going to burn with her, and they're going to burn with her now, and they're going to burn with her in the future. But she says, "Come out of her, for her sins have reached into heaven." These are enormous sins. "And God hath remembered her iniquities." So if He's remembering your iniquities, let me tell you something. There ain't no blood. You see? You have the blood, your iniquities remembered no more. Praise His name. Know what He's done for you. Understand what this is. "Reward her even as she has rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works." Boy, look at how it brings out them works. You know, the only work going on is His workmanship, huh? "In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself." The praise was coming to her. "Oh, I'm humble. Oh, I'm holy. Oh, I'm keeping." Get away from that. Those are feeble things. Those are the things that God is, again, studying in Galatians this week. The Lord's brought me so much into that. Those are the weak things. Bewitched. Cursed. O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Are you going to be made perfect by your works now? By your flesh? Having begun in the Spirit under the grace. Don't frustrate the grace of God. It's there for us. Hallelujah. All right. And she says, I live deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen. Oh, she thought that she was presenting herself, that she was the one that was going to marry, huh? And am no widow, and she shall see no sorrow. You can see just a complete and total blindness. Therefore shall shall her plagues come in one day. It's going to just come in stealth. Death, mourning, famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Oh, praise His name. See, nothing's going to be, it's all going to be scrutinized. You're not going to get by God. There is going to be judgment. All right. So getting back now, let's go on to verse 9. It says, and the third angel, and this is the final consequence of rejecting Christ as Lord. And it says, and the third angels followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And again, this receiving the mark of the beast, that 666, that was from Revelation 13:16, and it goes on a couple verses there. In verse 10 it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now I want to stop there for just a moment. We're going to read here, Lord willing, in a few minutes, that this drink of this wine of the wrath of God, this is the great winepress that this is coming into. And that is known as the Battle of Armageddon. And they are going to be brought into that time. And God's wrath against sin is going to be poured out. Justice is going to happen for those who don't believe. And God is going to bring them together. And you think of, again, if you were a sinner, I would try to do anything opposite of what God would tell me I was going to do, but they can't help but do it. And where are they bringing all this war? Where are they bringing all this battle? It's going to be right over there, right around that Euphrates. It's going to be in that valley. And God knows it, and that's where He's bringing all of that war. And you can see all the tumult and all of the problems and the inconsistency and in all of that mess over there. It's just right there. And there's no other way to explain it except God said it was so. And it's going to be. Praise His name. And learn that in your life. You know, when God says it's so, it's so. It's just the way He set it up. You know, it's perfect. And it is. His Word is perfect. It's infallible. It's the Word of God. Quit trying to butt your head against it. Quit trying to do it your way. Again, there's just so much truth that comes out into this. And we could, you know, again, preach nights and nights upon just a scripture. And sometimes some of the brothers and sisters say, you know, brother, can't you slow down just a little bit? And, you know, I want to go where the Lord takes me. And I sometimes feel like I'm going warp 5. But I want to get what He wants us to glean out of this. But again, brothers and sisters, you could never exhaust it. You couldn't. Praise His name. And we're just here to rejoice in it. And again, these are sweet things that God gets us to think of. And again, just resting upon what is to come. What a wonder there. All right. So again, this poured out in verse 10, without mixture into the cup of His indignation. I mean, this is a pure wrath. There's no mixture here. This is just pure. And again, praise God, we've never seen this. We're going to experience this someday. I mean, you know, we've heard about Sodom and Gomorrah. We heard about Nadab and Abihu. And we heard about different ones that, you know, they didn't do the right thing. And God had to express His judgment on that thing at that time. And, you know, turned a pillar of salt and all of those different things. That's some, you know, that's pretty shocking stuff. But this is the non-mixed wrath of God. And it's coming. and it's going to come upon that battle at that time. And then it's going to continue on as it goes on with this verse. And it says, "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of God." Presence of the Lamb. This is foreshadowing. This isn't hell, brothers and sisters. This is the prepared lake of fire. And they're going to be cast into it, the ones that are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is where they're going to end up. You know people that do not believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. I think I told you about my daddy's dad. I was thinking how so many times, and I'll share this with you again, so many times we've heard of brothers and sisters going to be with the Lord. Such a wonderful thing. Brother Hill's homegoing. What a glorious moment. What a wonderful thing that the brothers and sisters that were with him at that time that got to witness the glory of God upon a body that had no life, and by the grace of God, it was becoming beyond the abundance of life that right before their eyes. Wasn't it a wonderful thing to see the glory of God come in like that? We've heard about people saying that the one brother was sitting in a chair and I hear the angels singing and said goodbye and they were gone. Or I hear pretty music or all of those different things. Well, I tell you, my daddy's dad didn't know the Lord as Savior. And the last thing that he said in his bed before he died is he said, "I'm sinking in hot mud." Now, brothers and sisters, it happens. It's real. It's true. And I hurt for my dad because my dad was with him when he said that. And I know that was a time, and I never saw my dad cry very often. And Mom said that was a time that he wept very, very much, was when he knew that his dad was going to face that eternal time. So, we need to come into grips with that this is a very serious time. And life is a very precious thing. And as people that know Christ Jesus as Lord, let Him use you. Let Him use you. And just another thought there too, that giving out of the Word of God, brothers and sisters, is such a precious thing for your life. Okay? It's not about me and it's not predicated upon me if somebody's going to accept Christ as Savior. Took me a while to figure that one out. I used to kind of get a little bit upset with myself, and the devil used to really get down and say, "Whoa, I've got him really good now," when I knew that the Lord wanted me to testify to somebody when I was younger. And you know what? I just was a little shy, and I just kind of, I'll just walk on by. Well, that person, believe it or not, would not go to hell because of me. If that person has a heart to believe, he's got a faithful God, and it's a faithful God. And they'll bring that word. It was just an opportunity that I missed. He that wins souls is wise. And he that follows the instruction of the wonderful Lord through His Holy Spirit, and to be led that the Holy Spirit would make the intercession for my life, what a privilege. What an honor. What a rejoicing that man could have been a jewel in my crown. You see what I'm saying? So again, don't let the devil get you in despair. God will take care of that person. If that person wants to believe, you know what? Even when I'm not faithful, He abides faithful still. Okay? So, and I'm telling you, I've met people that have kept that kind of guilt all their life. Thinking, "Oh no, did that person..." So, now I'm not giving you an excuse now to just go walking on by everybody and never give them the Word of God. Because, see, you missed that fruit in your life. You missed that opportunity to be the light that God wants you to be, that the love of God that He wants you to give out, you see. But I've also seen people that will stand up on a box at a game and stand there and tell everybody they're going to hell and they need to accept Christ as Savior. Now, see, that's, I don't believe, something that God is purely directed in His will, that is the perfect way that He would have approached those in that word. But again, however Christ is preached, are we supposed to rejoice? Therein I rejoice. Brother Paul said it. I'm supposed to follow Him as He followed Christ. And again, I always think about that. The Lord had to encourage him twice. And again, I say, therein I do rejoice. I'm sure he had to think about it a couple times. "Oh, Lord, do I have to Okay. Huh? Amen? Amen. All right. Let's continue on. We'll try to get through the 13th verse and we'll stop after that. Okay, so again, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And again, reference to this is Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 20:10. You might write those down and just read a little bit there about this lake of fire. And this is an eternal death. You're either going to have eternal life or you're going to have eternal death. And this death is going to be something of torment forever. Read what verse 11 says. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. It's not a one-time event. It's not like death like we think of it where it's just over. This thing is going to go on and on and on. And I thought about the extremes here. I can extremely, by the grace of God, draw nigh to Him and go into the very fullness of the gospel and into the fullness of the truth and think about the abundant beyond of life everlasting that He is offering to me to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ throughout eternity, to be one with Him, to be a joint heir, a co-heir as man and wife. As I was speaking to my wife I think it was yesterday afternoon, I said, honey, what is greater than the crown? What is greater than the crown? Praise God. And he says, hold it fast. I have it. How exciting. How wonderful. Oh, I pray it's real. Oh, I pray it's real to you. It's real to me. I rejoice in it. I find myself looking at my hand every once in a while. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But how extreme it is the other way, too. He's a God of extremes. And there is going to be absolute judgment in the rejection of His Son as their Lord. And it's going to be the extreme the other way. And it's going to be eternal judgment. It's going to be eternal torment. It's going to be eternal death. Now, again, I ask you to reassess maybe someone that you don't like very well. You still want them to know Jesus. You do. And really for your sake, you want them to know Jesus. Not just for theirs, for yours as well. Praise His name. All right. So it says, and her smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Now this is a precious thing and we'll end with these last couple verses here. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 24:4. These are the ones that you will see that go on into the millennium. These are the ones that have accepted Christ as Lord, part of that group in a sense that are seen under the altar, but yet they make it through. God has great mercy upon them, and they actually can continue all the way through. Okay, that's Matthew 24, verse 13. Let's go back to verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Again, talking about that tribulation time. Then shall they deliver you, meaning the Jews. Not in a sense he wasn't speaking to his disciples, but he's talking about the Jew, Israel. Up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, or sin, the love of many shall wax cold. And here's verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now stay with me here. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. I've already read this, but this will kind of come together, hopefully a little bit more for us. And in that 26th verse, it says, and he that overcomes and keepeth my works unto the end, To him will I give the power over the nations. Now this is interesting because this is speaking to the church of what? Thyatira. This is the time, and these are these people that again have gone deep into this in a sense where God is continuing to tell them to wake up. This is that Jezebel. This is that church that's been coming at them in a sense, this Romanish empire of religious thought. And yet these are the ones that, you know, by the grace of God, wake up, come out of that. And if you'll endure with that and accept Christ Jesus as Lord, these are the ones that will go through and come out at the millennium time. I think it's a precious truth and how God shows us this. Again, these are the ones that will receive witness of the two witnesses that will live through the tribulation. And again, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And again, that wonderful Romans 13:10 where it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then in Romans 8:4 it says, the law is fulfilled in us by Christ Jesus. So he's the one that does the keeping, praise his name. And then verse 13 will close with that. And it says, and I heard a voice from heaven say unto me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Meaning from this time that we have here into the great tribulation time, the last 3.5 years. These are the saints in Revelation 6:9 that are seen under the altar. And we'll go ahead and read that Revelation 6:9 just so we can refer to it. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So you can see that there are certain ones that should be killed. It doesn't say that all be killed. So these are the ones, again, there will be ones that will be killed and resurrected up into heaven, their souls. And then there will be ones that actually will live through this time that will come out and live into the millennium. And here we go, and it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. All right, praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.